Hey, Jared, your question to Richard.
Mayor Moshe, the vacancy rate for office space in Norwalk is large. What would you do as mayor if reelected to reverse that or stem that tide?
The vacancy rate in all of Fairfield County is high, including in Stamford, around 20%. That's the function of the economy collapsing, businesses having problems. The vacancy rate, we have our marketing director, we get requests day in and day out from businesses asking, is there buildings located? Our marketing, Tad Diesel, makes contacts with those people. If we were the only city to have that 18 to 20% vacancy rate, I would say we're doing something wrong, but it's a function of the economy. We reach out, we have new businesses come in. And by the way, talking about Stamford and a wonderful, the people who live on the water in Stamford are not exactly thrilled about Bridgewater and the $160 million tax break that Mayor Malloy gave to his, or Governor Malloy gave to his former town. So there's a lot of disagreement on that development, and it has been stalled, surprisingly. Amazing. A development project actually stalled in another town. I see my yellow lights going on, so I'll end it there.
Okay, Harry?
Well, you almost went through the red light. We'd have to give you a ticket. Yes, there is a 20% vacancy rate in office space. And it's important to realize that some of these development projects perhaps are no longer viable, and you need to be proactive and sit down and take a look at what is viable, what is not viable, and what we can do to change whatever needs to be changed. Again, it's a hands-on approach by the mayor's office to bring the stakeholders to the table and talk about what can we do. There's also marketing that has to be done. We have to aggressively pursue people to come into Norwalk, show them our wonderful resources, show them why they should invest in Norwalk, talk about our wonderful diversity, do the kinds of things that proactive governments do. Go out, market your community, make changes where change is needed, and move forward.
Okay, Kristen, your question to Harry.
Do you feel that taxes are too high in Norwalk? And if so, do you think it's possible to lower them without cutting money to schools and other services throughout the city?
I think I've already addressed that. Taxes are high in Norwalk. You look at other communities and they're saying taxes are lower in their communities. But again, it's building the grand list and making sure that we spread that tax burden across all areas, not just relying too heavily on the tax burden or on the shoulders of the homeowners. Growing the grand list is the key. Making sure that business, tax appeal after tax appeal in the state of Connecticut and Norwalk homeowners was ruled in favor of the homeowners. So there's something grossly wrong with the fact that homes in Norwalk are being overvalued and overtaxed. We need to make sure that the commercial properties are taxed appropriately. We need to make sure that the homeowners are not bearing an undue burden. And again, it boils down to growing the grand list, not shrinking it, not losing money on the grand list, but making sure that the grand list grows.
Richard.
I don't know where these facts come up about homeowners winning all the appeals. Every homeowner, if they feel they're over-assessed, is going to, some legitimately, some not. We haven't lost every case. We've won many of the tax appeals, and actually during the last revalue, we had a very small amount of appeals because most people thought the assessments were correct. But when it comes to taxes, you have to ask yourself what a candidate is saying. I've tried to balance the needs of the city with the taxpayers. Yes, we've had a small increase over the years, but some of those increases went to the very union contracts that I've talked about before. Now, Mr. Rilling has promised senior tax increase, universal pre-K, give money to Head Start, what promises he's made to the unions, reopen contracts. Harry, how are you going to pay for all of them? You cannot just promise everything and then say we're going to grow the grand list to pay for all your promises.
Christy, your question to Richard.
Mayor, the city's Hartford delegation includes the House Minority Leader and the Assistant President Pro Tem of the Senate, two people with a lot of senior leadership and power in Hartford, obviously working in a bipartisan way for the betterment of the city. How do you continue to use that to the city's best advantage?
Well, Mr. Cafaro is here, and I'll yield to him how works well the bipartisan works in Hartford. But actually, this last year, we've had a pretty good working relationship with the other side of the aisle. Matter of fact, some of the Democrats have caucused with us. And I think some of the newer members that are running with Harry this time have learned that, you know, they got it out of the system the first year. We've done a lot of great things for Norwalk. We've worked well in a bipartisan way. But you know, sometimes people talk about bipartisanship. They say, well, you have to agree everything. There are principles, there are standards you believe in that you have to stand for. I've tried to do that, but I have a good relationship with this council. We've done well the last year when everybody sort of got their feet wet and understood what their responsibility levels are.
Eric? Again, everything that I've talked about that we'd like to do is not going to be based on the shoulders of the taxpayers. I don't know what promises Richard thinks I've made, but I can tell you I've made no promises, and we just need to make sure that we work hard with the delegation in Hartford, go up there and make noise and show them why we need the money. We need a mayor that's going to go up there, not just for ceremonial purposes, but to go up there and actually work hard and petition the governor, talk to him, sit down, talk to the staff, and bring good hard facts and figures as to why we need more money for our school system, why we need more money for economic development. And from what I can tell, that is not being done. I've spoken to some of the legislators up there. They said that the mayor of Norwalk is virtually absent up there. He's invisible. And that needs to change. I will be up there regularly with the superintendent of schools, with our delegation, trying to get more money back to the city of Norwalk.
Okay, Jared, your question to Eric.
Mr. Elling, what is your 60-second commercial for a business looking to relocate here to Norwalk?
I think we have that question in the primary, too. 60-second commercial is, Norwalk is an amazing town poised for greatness once again. It used to be a destination, it can be again. We need to show them the natural resources that we have. We need to aggressively market them, and we need to say, look, come to Norwalk. We've got a wonderful community, a diverse community. This is a place where you need to invest because you're going to succeed. And that's my commercial.
Okay, Richard.
I'm going to use a little bit of my time to say, I guess his legislators didn't tell him that I sat in the governor's office with Senator Duff and had a meeting with them. I've been up there numerous times. We have some legislators here who attest to the fact that I don't just go up there. I'm not cutting ribbons up in Hartford. Maybe you think that's all a mayor does. I know you said that, but I do a lot more. And the only thing invisible is the support from the Democratic legislature and governor for Norwalk. That is what is invisible. And as far as my 60-second, he said it all. We have a great city, we're diverse, we have a great waterfront, we get millions of people visiting this year, we have new business, we've had many new businesses move into town and continue to expand. And don't forget, Fortune 500 companies, GE Capital, Xerox, Pepperidge, FactSet, Datco, all here in Norwalk, smaller businesses, Wusthof Knife Company, business after business after business moving to Norwalk. They must be doing it because he wants to poo-poo the 6.6 unemployment rate. There has to be a reason for that lower rate, much lower than the state of Connecticut. I'll stand by that record anytime.
Okay, Kristen, your question for Richard.
Since we have a room of many business owners, can you tell us what you will implement to give them an opportunity to be heard throughout the year? Business owners an opportunity to be heard throughout the year.
I'm not quite sure I understand that question because they're here. I'm at a chamber event, and I think everybody will attest to the fact that I'm at every chamber event, breakfast, after events in small businesses. I meet with small businesses, I talk to small businesses, many of the room people. I do it on a day in and day out basis. Tad Diesel, the business director for the city, on a regular basis meets with them, asking for their input, where can we help? We get hundreds of calls in a year asking, are there locations in Norwalk? And again, those businesses are coming to Norwalk. And they are going to continue to come to Norwalk. We do a great job at outreach. Again, can we do better? Of course. If I had a larger staff, more people outreaching, similar to some of the other bigger cities that have much more a larger staff to do meetings with businesses, but because of the economy and asking people to make sacrifices, I cannot go out and add more people to the marketing division. We're doing a good job. We will continue. I meet with many of these people in the room on a regular basis.
Eric.
I get a different story when I meet with the business owners. We had several meetings when I was police chief, and they asked for a meeting to talk about some of the things that the city of Norwalk can do to help. They walked away disenfranchised because they weren't allowed to be heard. They were told what we were doing, But obviously, if they called for the meeting, what we were doing was not what they needed. I've said over and over again that one of the first things I'm going to do is something I did as police chief. I'm going to start a monthly mayor's night out. I'm going to bring my department heads with me. We're going to listen to the people in the city of Norwalk. We're going to not only listen, but we're going to hear. We're not only going to listen and hear, but we're going to act. We're going to talk to them and say, what can we do to make things better for you? And that's not happening right now. I hear it over and over again from the small business people. I have a meeting with them day after tomorrow. And they want to talk to me about things that are not happening in Norwalk that should be to help them thrive.
Okay, Christy, your question to Harry.
You obviously spent 40 years with the Norwalk Police Department, 17 as chief, and that is how a lot of people, that's the persona many people know you as the chief of police. How do you, or what would you say to the people who still have view you as the chief and not as the mayor who has an interest in many different areas and not just public safety?
Well, I'd say 17 years as police chief, being in the trenches, being in the emergency operations center when people are home feeling safe because we're out there, working with all the department heads, managing 17 multi-million dollar budgets all within allocation, that has given me broad experience. I've worked with every single department head in the city. I know what works. I know how divisions and departments interact with each other. I've worked with boards of education. I've worked with all the boards and commissions in Norwalk in one way or another, and I feel that's given me broad experience, plus the fact that I'm a lifelong Norwalk resident. I've seen Norwalk thrive, I've seen it flourish, I've seen its ups and downs, and I know what needs to happen in order to make Norwalk work as well as it possibly can to become a destination again. And I'm proud of the 17 years I spent as police chief, and I'm proud of the 41 years that I spent on the police department. It's given me broad experience, broad knowledge of how we can work together to make things happen.
Okay, Richard?
Well, I can't answer what it's like having been a police chief, but I will comment on a meeting with the Business Association. You know what the biggest complaint they had at that meeting and why they were upset with me? Because I kept defending. They were complaining about the services from the police department. And I defended the police because they wanted us to arrest homeless people. And the chief rightfully pointed out that it's unconstitutional. You can't just walk up and take a person off the street because they're homeless. Now, we've taken some different approaches with a new chief looking at it a different way. But at that time, Harry was right. And that is the reason why the biggest concern at that meeting was about the lack of police service in South Norwalk. And I did not believe that was true. And that is why they walked out of the room upset. And, you know, and after 7 years working for me, I didn't realize that all these problems were never mentioned to me as a citizen of Norwalk before, but suddenly when he resigns and he becomes a candidate for mayor, everything's been wrong the last 7 years.
Jared, your question to Richard.
Mayor Moshe, if reelected, and if elected, what would you do to place a greater focus on youth and youth activities in the community to give the children something to do?
Well, I have a summer job program that was started by former Mayor Knopp that we've continued. We haven't been able to have as many employed over the last few years, about 175, because of the economy. We have many after-school programs. We have the Carver Foundation. We have the Norwalk Housing Authority. We have outreach programs to all of our youth. It is a continual process. But government cannot do it all. We need involvement from parents to be involved with their kids' lives. We need them to keep telling them, get off of Twitter, get off of Facebook, get off your butts, get outside, and start doing things for yourself. There are programs out there, as I said, from the Carver to the Norwalk Housing Authority to the summer job programs. But we need parents to make sure they stay on top of their kids and get them off the streets after 10 o'clock and get them back in the house and get them reading and get them writing and get them arithmetic.
Well, as the police chief, we started many programs, outreach programs, to the young people in the community so that we could see, have the young people look at police officers as their friends. We started the DARE summer camp. We kept the DARE program going. We put school resource officers in the schools. The key is, there are programs for young people in Norwalk, but the key is making sure that the right people are taking advantage of those programs. Right now, we need more outreach into the communities that can benefit most from those programs. We have an Explorer program that we just started not too long ago before I left. Those kinds of things are going to keep the kids off the street. We need to have a proactive, not a reactive, leadership in the city of Norwalk. We need to have somebody that's going to be actively engaged in sitting down with the stakeholders to make things happen. And that is the type of person that I am. I used to have staff meetings every Wednesday morning with my key staff, so I would be up to date on what's happening. In 7 years, under Mayor Moshe, I went to maybe 3 staff meetings of department heads, and they were of little substance, if anything. We didn't communicate with each other. We didn't talk about what was happening in our individual departments. We simply sat there and were told how poor things are in the economy and how we have to pull back the reins on our budgets.
Richard.
That's not a terrible thing to say if you're a leader of the entire city. Yes, we've got budget problems. You're going to have to rein it in. And as far as staff meetings go, that's absolutely not true. And because I don't have universal staff meetings with 19 department heads at one time, doesn't mean you don't have subsets and have meetings with different department heads. And quite honestly, the last year and a half, and we want to get into that, and not having substantial meetings, we had a lot of emergency planning meetings, tabletop exercises, and quite honestly, I didn't see the chief at many of those. There were representatives from the department there, but not the chief. So, but then we start getting into he said, she said, who had more. Look, our city runs well. And yes, it's not a crime to say we can do better. As human beings, we can do better every day. And we continue to try and grow and prosper, learn from our mistakes. For an example, we learned how to plan better for emergencies after Irene, so we corrected a lot of the mistakes for Sandy.
Okay, Christy, your question to Richard.
Turnout is expected to be a big factor in this race on Election Day. What do you have to say to the people who are still deciding whether or not they even want to vote for mayor, and if they're still deciding who they want to vote for?
We all know historically that turnout is low for local elections, and I think Harry and I would both agree, we don't understand why, because probably mayors have the most impact other than some of the things that happens in Washington. You know, both Harry and I are veterans. And while I didn't serve in combat, many people in this room may have, and many people in the city. And the veterans put their lives on the line during whatever war to ensure that people have the right to vote. If no other reason, that should be your reason to vote. And secondly, it's because if you have an interest and a pride in your community, you want to be able to say, I voted for the best person that I felt could do the job. And I believe I am that person. I've done it for 8 years. And I believe when they get our message, and we continue to get our message, we will have a good turnout, better than last time, hopefully. And I'm sure once they hear the message, I believe they will vote for me.
Well, I agree that we need to tell people that this is one country where you do have the right to vote freely, where you vote in a closed voting booth. Nobody controls your vote. And if you don't vote, then you limit your right to complain. And this is something that many, many people have lost their lives over in order to give us the right to vote. Now, as far as who to vote for, well, you have to ask yourself the question, who do I think is the best candidate? And I would say, go back over the past 8 years, and do you think Norwalk is moving in the right direction? Do you think we could be moving in another direction? Do you think that the leadership of the community is doing the best it possibly can and giving you the best services for your tax dollars? Do you feel that we can do more? And if that answer is yes, then I would say that I am the candidate that needs that will be able to get that done.
Jared, your question for Harry.
Okay. If elected mayor, is there a policy or idea the Mayor Moshe has put in place that you would eliminate? And in response, defend them.
I'm not so sure of a policy because the mayor didn't put it in place. But one of the first things that I would do would be to ask the Common Council to remove the 21% increase put in the mayor's salary. Now, I have said all along that I would do that. I will not accept that pay raise. I know the mayor said he won't accept it either, but that's because it doesn't take effect until January 1st, and he hasn't had a chance to accept it. So I would say, if elected, I will remove that 21% increase from the books because I think it's obscene in a time when people are struggling to find work, and the mayor talks about the 6.5% unemployment rate. I don't think that factors in the people that have just given up and have not tried looking for work anymore. But I would say to the mayor, if you're reelected, would you take that 21% tax hike off the books, not just say you won't accept it?
First of all, that pay raise could have gone into effect last year. I turned it down. You're wrong again. Secondly, it's not a 21% tax hike, it was 21% raise. And my question to you is that should you be elected, even at the current salary with your pension, you will be receiving over $200,000. You will be in effect receiving a pension and a salary. And you know, you're in that position too. You have some choices you can make. I turned the pay raise down. When people were being asked for their union contracts to take a 0% increase, and by the way, your Democrats voted for that pay raise. It wasn't like I banged the gavel and declared it a decree. They voted for it because maybe some of them thought they were going to get elected. I don't know. But it was eligible for the last budget. Again, you're wrong with your facts. I could have taken it last year. Okay, and I haven't taken it, and to imply I have is incorrect.
Kristen for Richard.
Technology and the way we communicate is obviously expanding immensely between social media, smartphones. What are your communication plans to make Norwalk cutting edge with residents and business owners?
Well, we've really upgraded our website. Our IT department has done a great job. We've just put about $100,000 for new technology into the council chambers so that you can actually hear and see us. If you want to watch channel 979, if you have problems sleeping and you want to watch that channel, but it is better. Our IT department has made new advances. Obviously, all of us use Twitter and Facebook. I didn't realize I had so many friends in the world once I really got active into it. But it's continuing. Our IT department makes new improvements day in and day out. They have a new ID director with the Board of Ed that's working closely with our IT director, Karen, to ensure the use of smart boards, the computers. It's all part of it, and I think probably Harry and I both agree that our grandkids can handle the stuff better than we can. But it is an emerging technology. But there's also risks involved, and we know that, aside from the city. We know the dangers of Facebook and some of the things that are said on Twitter. And there has to be some monitoring and some responsibility of how those sites are handled.
Okay, our last question will go to Christy for
Harry. No, Harry has to.
Oh, I'm sorry,
he has to reply.
There's not a long rebuttal. I know we have an IT department that is constantly looking for ways to improve communications with the citizens of Norwalk. I know that they're continuing to advance, and yes, I do agree that our grandchildren can use those phones and cell phones better than I can, and my thumbs just don't work as quickly as theirs do. But I believe that things are going to continue, and I don't think we've touched the edge yet. We're still advancing, and we don't know what other kinds of things are coming down the road, so we have to make sure that we're on top of the latest technologies. We have the right people in place to make sure that we take advantage of them, the people that have the skills, knowledge, expertise in those areas. That's certainly out of my area of responsibility, not responsibility, my area of knowledge. So I believe that putting the right people in the right place and making sure that they're up to date on all the technology will keep us up to date.
And now our last question for Christy will go to Harry Rilling first.
Many people talk about increasing the efficiency of local government. One way to do that is obviously to cut positions within the city, but considering the current economic situation, how do you make city government more efficient without necessarily eliminating positions?
It's a very big challenge to make city government more efficient, especially when things have been cut to the bare bones as we stand now. You look at all the operations. There are people out there doing jobs. You listen to the people that are doing those jobs and you feel what types of efficiencies are necessary to make them to be able to do it more efficiently and with less cost involved to the city. You can look at job consolidations. Maybe we have some redundancies where individuals are working that are doing the same task. We need to get the department heads together, and we need to know what's happening in those individual departments. We need to look at long-term and short-term fixes to the things that they feel need to be done. Again, it's because you need to listen to the people that are doing the job, and that's what I will be doing. I will be meeting with the individuals, sitting down at the table, having department head meetings, and making sure that we understand what is going on and where we can make the changes to become more efficient, more effective, without really cutting any more positions.
Richard.
We can't cut any more positions. Norwalk has the lowest workforce of any major city of our size, not only in Connecticut and the Northeast. We have about 650 employees. Stamford has over 1,100, a little bigger. Greenwich, which is two-thirds our size, has about 1,000 employees. So we've done what we've had to do. But in the meantime, we put the efficiencies in that we need to do. We have GPS on all our trucks for snow plowing, so we know exactly what routes they've done. We've gone to single-stream recycling. We've gone to outsourcing of the garbage, which has saved millions of dollars. We continue to look for efficiencies within things. We've done a new way of rating our streets for repaving. And despite the claims that nothing is being done, $30 million over the last 5 years, a lot of money being put into infrastructure, including a lot of money for the police department for new equipment. So it's using modern technology, using the resources you have, and we have great department heads who know how to do that far better than I do. I'm not the smartest person that walks into the room every time. I learn from other people.
Okay, great. We're now time for our 2-minute closing remarks from each candidate, and this was determined by a flip of the coin between the candidates. Candidates will, in the 2 minutes, will get a 30-second reminder as well as a 15-second reminder so they can wrap up their comments. And first up to bat is Harry Rilling.
First thing I would say is, again, bring back the question, do you feel that Norwalk over the past 8 years has progressed in the right direction? I feel like so many others do, that we're stuck. We're not moving forward. Things are stagnant. We have, in the past 8 years, not heard a vision for Norwalk. Over the past 9 months, I have laid out my vision for Norwalk by doing op-eds, press releases, and so forth. I have not seen a vision for Norwalk from the current administration. Are we doing well? Do you feel that Norwalk is moving in the right direction? Do you feel that people are bringing their children back into our school system, or do you feel that they're sending their children to private schools or moving out of Norwalk? I believe that I represent change. I represent leadership. I want to be a proactive person that will work hard for all the citizens of Norwalk to make Norwalk the best that it can possibly be. I do not see that happening right now. I see more reaction than proaction. We have lost $4 million in the Board of Education. $1.4 million. $4 million misspent in mismanagement of NEON. We have not progressed the way we should be progressing, and that is what I bring to the table. I say to you, give me a chance to show that I can run this city more efficiently, more effectively than is currently being done. I believe that I have the leadership skills that I've acquired over 17 years as police chief, and on the police department for 41 years. I know this community well. I know what works. I know what doesn't work, and I know what we need to do to fix it. So I'm asking you today to 3 minutes in the voting booth can change this city for the better, and I'm asking for your vote. I would be honored to have it, and thank you all for being here, and God bless America.
Okay, Richard Mosher.
Thank you that you finally admitted NEON misspent $4 million. I'm gonna go in a little different direction. Obviously, I disagree with many of the things that Harry has said, but I wanna thank the chamber, the hour, the questioners, all of you, of course, my opponent, Harry Rilling. As we conclude the campaign, and we've heard on different candidates, when they sign off their message, they say, I'm so-and-so, and I approve this message. We've all heard that. Well, I want to reverse it a little bit, if I may. And what I mean by that is that I've had the honor of leading the city for the last 8 years and to represent the citizens. And I am asking for their vote one more time. I believe the city has moved forward, and we are progressing, again, through very difficult economic times. But one thing that has impressed me beyond the politics, beyond the cliches, and I mentioned it earlier, is the spirit, the hope, and the charitable hearts of our citizens. be it assisting their neighbors in the aftermath of hurricanes, or working at the emergency shelter, or raising money for the numerous charity events that occur. And of course, they are second to none in their devotion and assistance to our veterans. I have heard their optimism for our future and the love of our city, and a genuine belief that this is a great city that we live in and that we will continue to grow and prosper. That is their message to me, and I end this debate by saying, I'm Dick Mosha, and that is one message that I definitely approve. Thank you, God bless you, and I'll see you on Election Day.
Okay, our thanks to both candidates, so now's a nice time for a round of applause.